Okay, well, so my presentation is based on the results of a couple of CSNAs that we performed recently. Comprehensive statewide needs assessments are done generally every 3 years by requirement by a state's division for the visually impaired, or the equivalent department. And my first slide just outlines some of the requirements of the CSNA, and the point that I wanted to make with this is that the focus is very strongly on rehabilitation needs and employment, finding people employment. So the topic of my talk is really about this task that many of the DVIs in the country have been faced with of finding employment for people with blindness or visual impairments. These two methodologies that we did in two different states were very much similar and are generally kind of the theme or the basis of how we approach research. So what we did is a comprehensive look. We tried to talk to everyone who was involved in the process of DVI and consumer interactions. And that started with the staff. So we talked to all the staff that we could. We did a telephone survey of consumers. We generally shoot for 400 to 600 respondents. It often depends on how many consumers a state actually has within the past 3 years. We don't go back further than 3 years. We conduct interviews with community rehabilitation partners, or CRPs, employers of blind or visually impaired workers who've received referrals from the DVI, health professionals who've worked with referrals from the agency, and we do some sort of focus group, a forum, or feedback opportunity. So the idea is, at each stage of the research, we try to go back and discuss more with people. Once we've gotten the interviews with CRPs and employers, we talk to a few more staff, and we talk to them about the kinds of things that people are telling us from the employer side to try and kind of triangulate our research and to understand what's happening from all different angles and all different points of view. So for these two studies, the first was conducted in 2009 and the other in 2012. And just to give you an idea of some of the sample sizes that we have, in terms of staff, for our first study most recently in 2012, we had 37 staff, 7 employers, 6 health providers, 4 CRPs, and 159 consumers participate in the telephone survey. And then in our other 2009 survey, we had slightly less staff, 12 staff participated, 11 employers, 50 health providers, and 4 CRPs, and then we had 450 consumers participate in our telephone survey. To give you an idea of a little bit of the demographics of the people that we talk to in these telephone surveys in particular, 83.6%, this is of the two samples combined, were between 18 and 64. So between the majority were in the ballpark of what most people would think of as a working age. About 40% had some disability other than blindness or visual impairment in addition to that. And then the slightly over half were legally blind, and about a quarter were severely visually impaired, and about 11% total blindness. And then some other categories that one of the DVIs had included in their categorization we left in as well. So disability, in addition to visual impairment, I mentioned the education of respondents. Education was a big issue in finding people work. About a little over a third had less than a high school education, and a quarter, or a little over a quarter, had a high school education. So over half had high school or less, with a special ed certificate or associate's degree also filling in a few percentage points. So that said, so we sort of have a picture now of who was participating in the survey, and we asked several open-ended questions. This particular question was a structured question, and we asked, how important are each of the following issues to you as a person with a visual impairment or blindness? And we read the list of questions, and they rated on a scale of 1 to 4, 1 being not at all important and 4 being very important. How important were these? And the most important that came up for us was transportation, which is pretty recurrent theme that we see all the time. Transportation is a very important issue. Job placement followed it up, and assistive technology came in third, followed by vocational training, educational opportunities, affordable housing, socialization opportunities, and mobility needs within the home or work environments. So in terms of job placement, we asked people, are you working right now? And 35.8% said, I'm unemployed. So this was an open-ended question where we took their response and then fit it into our own pre-coded categories. And just among those who answered that they were unemployed, so we skip people who said that they are unable to work for some reason, who were students, who were retired, who were employed either part-time or full-time, we just asked those who reported on their own that they were unemployed, and we asked them, do you want to find a job? Half of them said yes, and we followed up by asking, is that right away or sometime later? And so half said yes, they wanted to find a job right away and were actively looking. About a third said no, they were not interested in finding work. And 16% said yes, they were interested in finding a job, but not at this particular time. They might be interested later, but they were not currently. Using the importance measurement, we also asked people to rate their satisfaction with services and availability of the same items in their state. And between importance and satisfaction, we put those items on a matrix. We could have also done a ratio to look at the relative importance and satisfaction of each one. But the idea is I wanted to be able to identify the kinds of things that are very low in satisfaction, but at the same time are considered to be very important to people. So if they're not that satisfied, but it's not that important anyway, it might not be something that a DVI wants to concern itself with greatly. But if it's highly important to people and they are dissatisfied, that's something that really garnishes immediate attention. And the two things in the lower right-hand corner that are high on importance but low on satisfaction came up as being transportation and job placement. Those two things were of the lowest satisfaction but the highest importance to our sample. We also asked consumers, what have been the biggest challenges for you in finding a job? And the lack of adaptive equipment, along with lack of opportunities or the economy, came up as the strongest response. And this, again, was an open-ended question where we just categorized people's responses but let them answer in their own words. So in general, the lack of adaptive equipment most often referred to a specific piece of adaptive equipment that someone was missing or needed in order to fulfill employment. Discrimination, waiting for training, and unable to complete a training before they could achieve employment was also commonly mentioned. Some other disability or illness, and disappointment or discouragement from a previous rejection were also mentioned fairly frequently. During our staff interviews, we asked the same questions of staff. What are the major impediments to finding employment for your consumers? And we put these together in kind of a triangle because clearly there was a base of services that was needed before those could be built upon to find employment for people. And the corner, the kind of foundation of that was the applicant education and skills. And that's that demographic that I showed early on, where half of the consumers have graduated from high school, a third have not even graduated from high school and have had no training or education beyond that. So the applicant education and skills often restricts people to low-level jobs, which we think of work as being something that should be fulfilling for individuals and something that is motivating and worthwhile, yet many of the jobs for which they're qualified do not have those qualities. And so people are often not excited about the potential of having that kind of a job. There was also the need for employer education that was frequently mentioned by staff. But that really kind of fell in a couple of ways, because many employers thought immediately of these low-level jobs as where they would put people if they had someone with blindness or visual impairment. But many of the people in the DVI who were looking for employment, and in increasing numbers, are older people who have many skills, much experience, who are looking for employment now under somewhat different circumstances as they've experienced some vision loss, and they may need some sort of assistive technology. And one example that I can think of is a person who was an accountant who had lost visual acuity and was no longer able to work with the screen and do his work as an accountant. But there was assistive technology available for him that would have made it possible for him to do his job. The impediment, and this was one that was encountered frequently, that we heard about quite frequently, the impediment was not in getting the software that would allow him to see this computer screen. The impediment was that his employer had an outdated version of accounting software that was not compatible with the software that would allow him to use the program. So in order for the employer to bring his software up to date to be able to have this compatibility, he would have not only had to change this one individual's workstation, he would have had to upgrade his whole office, which ends up being quite expensive. So as myself, I can speak for, you know, as someone who uses Word 2007, and it is now 2013, as I'm occasionally reminded. And, you know, it seems pretty up to date to me. So I don't have immediate plans to upgrade my software, yet at the same time I'm aware that many others in the same position need to do just that. So sometimes DVI might be able to find additional funding for someone to have the software they need, but that software itself needs to be compatible with the software used in the workplace. So additional funding might be useful in many ways, but also in the way of helping employers to bring their own software up to date so that they can have compatibility for those kinds of issues. And then the other corner is the definition of job readiness. We often heard from staff in DVIs that the definition of job readiness was too broad, so that when they look at the pool of people that they have available for work, and let's say half of them they have not been able to find employment for. Well, when they start talking about that half and looking at those individuals person by person and case by case, they start to say, well, this person has a drug and alcohol problem, and that's why we haven't been able to find him anything. This person has a criminal record, and she doesn't qualified, you know, she's gotten rejected from the last couple that we've sent her out. We're working on it, but we're not sure. This person needs some count, you know, in their pool of applicants that they consider to be job ready. Most of the DVI staff that we talk to would identify individuals and say, well, officially, formally, they're classified as being job ready, but we know this, this, and this, which actually pulls them out of the pool. So it looks like I haven't found employment for half of the people on my list, but that's because half of them really aren't ready for employment. Or, as seen in our previous slide, they're not interested in finding employment for whatever reason that might be. So one of the impediments to employment is the willingness, the ability, and the motivation of the person themselves, the people themselves, in finding employment. So in conclusion, about 1 in 4 of consumers generally report that employment is their greatest unmet need. Many of these are, as I mentioned, older people who have skills in place and a history of employment, who have, for reasons related to visual impairment, not been able to continue in their work, and who would like to be placed back in a role close to or equivalent to what they were doing before. So that kind of specialized placement, it's not just a blanket approach where if you get one big employer who's going to put people in low-level positions, that might not be adequate for all of the consumers and might not meet all of their needs. One in three, a large percentage, said that they needed educational support such as help obtaining a GED. And many of the DVIs are very good about helping consumers who need to continue with education and the needs that accompany that. So job placement is very important, but it's not everything to people. And many people would rather, like many of us, make a greater investment in themselves in the current time in order to achieve a better employment outcome later on down the line. And pushing them into employment positions before they're ready is often counterproductive. And then lastly, the levels of training, the software updates, and employer awareness all need to rise together. They're all boats in the same marina. And so as the water rises, they all need to rise together. You can't have improved training without improved employment opportunities. And likewise, you really can't do much with the employment opportunities without improving education and training, and especially with the software compatibility issues. Okay. So, questions at the end. Thank you.